The Challenger Deep is the deepest place in the ocean. It's in the Mariana Trench in the Western Pacific. Only a handful of people have ever descended into it, and until this month, they were all men. Mountaineer Vanessa O'Brien is one of two American women who made the voyage earlier this month. Astronaut Kathy Sullivan is the other. O'Brien has now been to both the highest and lowest points on the Earth and joins us now from New York on Skype. Vanessa, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy. Great to speak with you.
Okay, well, I have a lot of questions for you, but first of all, what is it like down there in the deepest place in the ocean?
Well, it's really cool and very interesting. I mean, at first you feel like almost an intruder to a very foreign place. It's very serene, and it's almost like visiting the moon if it were underwater. It looks like sand, but you know it's sediment because this is where the tectonic plates come together. So the oceanic plate slides under the continental plate. But as you're moving along and looking at the sediment, which looks like sand, you can see little things like crawling underneath. So you know there's life there. But it's curious what that life is because it's dark. So whatever lives there doesn't need eyes, for example. And the pressure is so great. This is 16,000 pounds per square inch of pressure, or 8 tons. So, you know, I don't know if it's capable of having a vertebrae, for example, with that kind of pressure.
Well, and I know it takes about 4 hours to get down to the bottom. Do you see a lot of life along the way down?
So, you know, if you watch some of the YouTube videos, they're quite cheeky and very cute. What they do is they put the entire possibilities of all things you can see on the way down in one place, which is amazing, right? But the chance that it's going to be in your peripheral view on the way down is probably 0.00001%. Mm-hmm. So you don't see a lot when you're going down. The reality is, I think by the time I was done talking to the pilot, Victor Vescovo, and saying, oh, what's that? What's that? What's that? It was already dark. So it gets dark really, really fast.
Well, and you're in this little mini submarine called Limiting Factor. What is it like inside there?
So the coolest thing is actually, for me, the experience of actually getting into the hatch. You know, this porthole picks up and you're going down into this hatch. It's got little handholds on the sides, so your feet are kind of stepping down into this very, very, very long hatch. And at first, you're going in, and I'm fine. And then I get to my shoulders, and I'm like, oh, no, am I actually going to fit? And then suddenly, you are dropping down into a seat. And my first impression, and I'm going to give away a little bit of an age range here, was an I Dream of Jeannie or Barbarella, because you're sitting in something that's a little bit like, wow. It's like a little bottle or a magical place. And part of what made me think of that was because lining the whole ceiling are these oxygen canisters. You know, they're white and they're tubular. And then there's all these lights, right, of the command centers. It's a little spaceshipy, but it's cozy. It's comfortable. But there's one big problem with it, and that's it's kind of 100% electrics going into water.
Right. And there was an issue with that. I will say, by the way, that I am not old enough to have watched I Dream of Jeannie when it actually was on the air, but I did see just about every episode on Nick at Night a long time ago. Now, I assume it's very difficult to be socially distant in this tiny vessel. So how do you deal with coronavirus?
Expeditions during an age of a global pandemic are an absolute nightmare. And who knew, right? So what ended up happening is the first thing was that the USS Theodore Roosevelt, which was a U.S. naval ship, which you might remember in the news, came into the port of Guam, dropping off a bunch of COVID-19 sailors. We were going to depart from Guam. So that made this whole expedition already at risk because Guam did not want anybody coming into Guam once they had the COVID-19 problem. The second thing is that we didn't want to go onto a ship where we would potentially have a problem with COVID-19. So we had people coming from 7 different countries and 5 states. So what we decided to do was to have everybody test for COVID before they came into the ship, and that would satisfy the government of Guam, that would satisfy the captain of the ship, that would satisfy Victor as the owner. and that would certainly take care of all the passengers' state of mind. Once we got onto the ship, all masks came off, and it seemed for that, 12 days, a bit of normalcy.
Mm-hmm. You have not only visited the depths of the ocean, you've also climbed the highest mountain. Is there a difference in your mind, or how do they compare?
I found, the process and experience of some things very similar, like the crampedness of a sub versus the crampedness of tents as you're going up. They're both low oxygen environments, so I can draw parallels that make it seem like you're almost doing the same thing. But the reality is that climbing Everest is a much more physical pursuit. Any high altitude mountain, although it looks physical, there's a lot more mental capability that goes into it, because whenever something is endurance oriented, there's a mind over matter aspect to it. So mm-hmm. at some point, there's going to be something inside that says, turn around. This is uncomfortable. You're higher than you've ever been, and you've got to overcome that negative voice, a bit like running a marathon, if you will, where you just got to persevere and push through. And that's why I think, having that mindset that says, I can do this, and to overcome those little hurdles that try to set you back is important.
Before you became an adventurer, you were in the banking industry. I wonder how you look back on that experience now, given the things you've seen. Does it feel frivolous to deal with finance after you've sort of explored the heights and depths of the world?
Well, I'll tell you what business does when you turn to exploration is there's the softer skills which you can use, like leadership and teamwork and those things, which of course transfer immediately into any expedition. But also risk management, can't be underplayed. That's very important in the dynamics of any exploration. And then the softer skills around people, teamwork, leadership, being able to make decisions, because things are never going to go as planned. So it's always important to be able to make a call and have, sort of that plan B, C, D, whatever is necessary to mm-hmm. either turn around or save an expedition in a different way.
Well, and your business background also allowed you to finance this trip, right?
Yeah, I think you sometimes you have to be creative in how you do it. And sometimes either you can't, you have to put it off, you have to save for it, you have to look for sponsors. In most cases, what I've found is that expeditions tend to be a game of numbers, because there's going to be some X number of fixed costs, and you want to share those fixed costs over a certain number of people. It's more financially viable.
There was a scary moment when you were down there, and maybe we finish with that. So tell us what happened when you were down so far beneath the surface of the ocean.
We had some of the batteries run out. It was the batteries on the starboard side. And the nice thing about any equipment is that there's a lot of built-in redundancies. So the first thing is never panic. There's plenty of oxygen. There's plenty of ways to get up if things were to really fail. We're certainly not going to swim up, put it that way. But we just started troubleshooting and thinking through, okay, if the starboard batteries are off, can we borrow something from the other side, or can we shut off things and will it recharge itself? So you just start troubleshooting. And mostly what I'm doing is talking through things with the pilot and having him talk to me out loud, mm-hmm. more from a psychological point of view too, because my job as a mission specialist was really to collect rocks. And that's what I trained on the robotic arm for, to take pictures, to, survey. I think when things don't go according to plan, you want that person with you who's not going to panic, but who's going to just be that calm presence. You just have to remain really, really calm, especially calm, the most calm in the worst situations.
Well, we're glad that you're okay, and congratulations on your trip down to the Challenger Deep, deepest place in the ocean. Vanessa O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us.
No, it's great speaking to you. Thanks so much.